Welcome to the Digital Rapport Podcast, where you discover how to connect, influence, and persuade in the digital age.
Bruce Lee once said, "To know oneself is to study oneself in action with another person." The wonderful thing is that you can develop the ability to study yourself and how you communicate with others. It can allow you to be present in the moment so you can truly connect with another person. Rapport is a two-way process. It requires a sense of presence and understanding before you can be of service. Paying attention to how you interact with others is subject to all areas of your life. It becomes core in connecting across all your relationships from personal, social, and a business perspective. Join me on this journey as we talk to third-generation instructor in Bruce Lee's martial art and philosophy, Kholjit Kune Do, founder of Martial Mind Power and author of the book Master Your Life, Sifu Lakloyi, as he shares how to connect, build trust, and rapport with your students and community. Hi, my name is Jatinder, founder of Digital Rapport, and today we're going to have a really cool interview with third-generation Bruce Lee student. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because I'll get him to do the introduction. So, Lax, it's an honor to meet you today.
It's a pleasure. Pleasure.
And just to the viewers, if you'd like to tell a bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, I'll start off with an introduction. My name is Lakloyi. I'm a third generation instructor in Bruce Lee's Jeet Kune Do, his martial art and philosophy. In Cantonese, stands for Wear the Intercepting Fist. I put together a program based on and inspired by Bruce Lee called Martial Mind Power. It's a 9-stage self-mastery black belt program.
So Lax, one of the whole reasons for doing Digital Rapport was to educate people as to what rapport is, right? How it works, and then how we can basically use that, not just offline, but also online, right? So I suppose the first thing is, what is rapport to you and how do you use it in what you do?
Ultimately, for me, rapport is to create trust and confidence between you and the person that you're communicating with. And that happens in a bunch of different ways. And ultimately, it's through the art of honestly expressing yourself.
With yourself, right, you have your martial art classes that you teach Central London, you know, with your students. I remember the first time I met you, it was quite interesting because you embraced me straight away. It was like, you know, came up to you, shook hands, you didn't even shake hands, you just hugged me, right? And for me, that was kind of like, wow. It was almost like straight away you've opened up to me, which for me was a case of like, this guy doesn't even know me, and you just open up. And I saw you do that with all your students and everyone you work. I mean, why do you do that? How does that come about? Or, you know, what was the thoughts behind that?
I think one of the key things is I don't go and greet somebody with the intention of using the art and philosophy of rapport building to manipulate somebody's behavior. For me, it's an honest self-expression of welcoming somebody. So when a new student comes into the group and wants to try out a class, I give them an open welcome. So this is what I would call an open gesture. So I use my non-verbal communication skills in order to welcome them in. And a hug is a way of communicating a whole plethora of emotions, feelings, and thoughts without using a single word. And this is the power of a hug. But the good thing about a hug is when you give a hug, you get one back. So it's also a healing mechanism as well, and makes people feel good. From a very young age, a child is hugged and caressed and cared for by the parents, and in particular the mother, and that same emotion and that same physiology and the interaction works against anybody else. But to me, when I do welcome a student, it's just the natural way I am. And the more love I give and the more I show that I care about somebody, the more I get back. And it's a reciprocal thing. So I don't do it with an expectation of getting something back. It's just the way I am and how I want to be.
So if you were to break that down into its kind of components as to how you actually create instant rapport with people, what would you say that is? If you were to break it down further, just so that we could get to the core of
what rapport is and how it works?
Well, if rapport is about building trust and confidence, is something that especially with the martial mindset, is something that has to be earned. You know, you don't have it there instantly because somebody might not know you, especially when you've got a new prospective student. Mm-hmm. So the idea is to earn that respect, and that happens through being professional, but also being sincere, having honesty and integrity about what you're doing. If you were to break down the mechanics of that, you could look at the science of that, and the science of it would say, well, you know, in terms of communication, which is the means to build rapport, communication is built of the verbal and the non-verbal aspects. And as part of the verbal aspects, which people talk about as being recognized as being the core parts of the communication, the actual word part of the communication is only about 7% of the overall communication. Mm-hmm. The rest of it is the other verbal components, and more importantly the non-verbal components, which account and amount to over 70% of the overall communication. So what are we talking about? Well, rapport is built by the following key attributes, and to me the first and foremost is having the right physiology. Mm-hmm. So this is how you carry your body. You know, you could if somebody comes into your martial arts school, into the dojo, and you greet them with a closed structure or off to the side, or very standoffish, or you greet them like this, then you're going to push them away, because this physiology communicates the fact that you're saying to them, stay away. Mm-hmm. So straight away, the physiology is not congruent with the kind of message that you're trying to create. So the idea would be then to carry yourself and carry your physiology in a way that you would be embracing. So gestures where I'm pulling you in, opening you, giving you a hug. I'm saying welcome with a big hug, with a lot of love and warmth. This is a cool, calm, and friendly environment for you to come in and learn, for me to help develop you so that you can be a better martial artist and you can be a better human being. So the physiology part is really important. Then when you start looking at the actual the verbal part of it, the verbal part of it consists of two key things. Firstly is using the right words, and quite often a person trying to communicate a message, if you use the wrong words, will convey the wrong message. Mm-hmm. So it's really important that you use the right terminology and the right words that are fitting to the message. Mm-hmm. If you were to read my mind, you could understand what I'm saying. Yeah. But the fact that I have to think and then translate and verbalize what I'm saying, if I don't use the right words, then the message that I'm trying to convey to you may be misinterpreted by the recipient. And if that happens, then all of a sudden, I'm going to break rapport, because it's misunderstandings and inefficiencies in that communication. So that needs to be aligned. And then the most important thing, about this is the one aspect of communication that's really undervalued, is tonality. And tonality is your pitch and the timbre and the quality of your voice. And these attributes of your voice, if I talk in a very aggressive manner, then you will construe that I don't want you in my space, I don't want you in my school, I want you to go away. You may get frightened. Or I may use a nice calm and friendly tonality, which is my natural state. And if I communicate in that way, then it'll be more inviting and you'll feel more comfortable and more relaxed. And remember, when I do get a new student come into the dojo, more than likely the new student's anxious and nervous. You know, he's in a new environment, he's going to learn something that's combative, but also you've got the physical cultivation, you've got the mental cultivation, it's something he hasn't done before, there's a bunch of people in the room that that person's never met before. So there's a natural anxiety about joining a new club. Will I fit in? Will I get it? Will I understand the movement? Will I get on with my teacher? And so on. So the communication is there to help make that person and make that student feel comfortable. And rapport is the end objective, which is to build confidence and trust. If I am to help enrich this person, and this person is going to look at me to help guide them to be appointed to their own truth, then they must trust me and they must have confidence in what I am about to deploy as part of my teachings.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. So if you were to then expand that further, because when you're teaching in your class, you're not just one student, there's multiple students, right?
That's right.
So you have to then maintain that rapport mm-hmm. across 20, 30 students at one time.
That's right.
How does that dynamic work? What do you look for? What kind of things allow you to keep that under control as such, you know, work with that and at the same time, connect with all of them at the same time?
Running group classes is an art. The art form is such that when you interact with people, when you're in the service sector, in particularly teaching in such an environment like a martial arts school, I personally feel that you have to have an inherent responsibility and care or duty of care to get the best out of each person, and that happens through understanding each person personally to a certain degree. Now some people are a bit more closed and some people are a bit more open, so the open people you'll know a lot more about, whereas the closed people you'll know a little bit less about, but you will appreciate how they operate and their modus operandi, and you can respect their boundaries. Likewise with an open person, they'll give you more and may also expect more in return, because there's more of an open communication there. And the idea is, with a high energy person or more open person, you can afford to be more open, and a more close person, more private person, you can afford to depart and deploy information that is a bit more succinct and more straight to the point, rather than get more involved in the interpersonal aspect. So you must honor that in order to honor the person, and each person is different. But ultimately, each person is a different place in their life, and each student in a martial arts class is coming from a different place. They're all looking for something different. And that's something different you can only identify if you actually care about their well-being and adding value to their lives to help enrich them. And when you look at it from that standpoint, what happens is something quite magical, because you get insight. You don't go into it thinking, well, so-and-so needs this help and so-and-so needs that help. When you're in that space, you feel the energy. You have a certain intuition almost, a feel of what the class needs as a collective and what maybe a specific group or an individual may need. And the class, my classes, they're all specified up in advance. This is session planning. So we go in there, everything. I always say there's a madness to the method and a method to the madness. You know, it may not always make sense, but at the end, it all comes together and it always makes sense. It has to have absolute clarity to the student. So if it makes sense and it works, then you should do it. So when you're in that space, the idea is, in a class, sometimes I might have a session planned what I'm going to cover in a specific class or a seminar, but the students might not be in that mind space at that given moment in time, so that session plan may no longer be appropriate. So I have to respond like an echo and adapt to what they need in order to give them the best teachings they can, so they are in the space that they came in there to get into. So that space is a space to lift each and every person. And that's only going to happen if I am in tune to the way each student is in the class. And when I'm doing that, I'm reading physiology, I'm listening to their tonality, I'm listening to the words that are coming out of their mouth. I am on point on their communication. But ultimately, when I have rapport, I have confidence and trust in each and every member of the class, then I can help them a lot more easier. If I don't have that, then whatever I do will never work.
So it sounds like that you're getting to know them on an individual basis, on level, right? So the individual, their needs, what they require for this growth. And then because you know that, in that environment, you're able to see the individual, because obviously they're kind of in front of you as you're teaching. But then you see the kind of harmony between them and all the other students, and as a collective, you then start to look at what the collective needs, right?
Okay. Absolutely. There is collectiveness and there is individual. And, you know, they're coexisting in the same space because it's a group environment. But every once in a while, you'll get somebody that's isolated for some reason. And I can feel it. I can see what's going on. I can read the physiology. I can read the communication and the message that they're sending out through their behavior. And that's what I would class as an opportunity for me to help them. Ultimately, martial arts is about self-actualization, to be the best you can be. And it's my job and my responsibility to find a way to do that with each and every student. On the whole, general class instruction helps lift everybody. But there are cases where you have to give specific instruction and specific coaching to individuals in order to get the best out of them or get them into a better and more resourceful state in that 1 hour or 1.5 hours that you've got to work with them or work together with them.
If we then take that a little bit further into the kind of online digital sphere now, right? So on a kind of one-to-one basis, they come and meet you, you interact with them, you get their needs, find out what they're all about. Mm-hmm. So how are you then translating that online? What are you doing to build rapport with people in the digital world, as they say, you know, how to find out their needs and all that kind of stuff to supply them with what they want?
I know what my students want. I have, when I first enroll a student or when I first meet a student, I have a sit down, one-on-one sit down with each and every person to elicit why that individual is engaging in martial arts. How is it, as part of their journey of life, that I can help serve them in the best way possible? Once I know that, then I know how I can serve them and how I can get the best out of that person. And the rest is really then responding to how the classes are planned and how I can instruct the individual and coach the individual throughout each session. Right. In terms of reflecting that, in the digital world, the way I do that is by providing learning materials that help make their journey as easy as possible. So knowledge is power. But I also believe that if knowledge is power, then don't give it away indiscriminately. So that knowledge is departed to my students in a private forum, in a members only area. And as part of that, I provide information and knowledge to help enrich and help my students develop and work on their martial arts practice in their own time and space, so they can continue working on the material that we cover in class. And it also gives them a reference point. So education and value add knowledge and learnings that we cover in class is, I think, a must. So we'll try and do that as much as possible. On top of that, another thing that I do regularly is inspire and empower. Now, I'm an avid Bruce Lee fan, which is the reason I got into Jeet Kune Do in the first place. And as part of that, I have been wowed and continually inspired and motivated by Bruce Lee's philosophies and the philosophies that he was inspired by. So very often I will share those philosophies in snippets and philosophies and quotes, and I post them on a blog. And these blogs, you know, I don't overblog to overburden and overpower and discombobulate my followers, but more to give them a drip feed of inspiration every couple of weeks or so, just so that they gives them that boost that they need. And I get constant feedback that the students love the blogs that I post. I try and maintain a standard of high quality blog posts, the writings that I do, the quotes that I put out there, the material that I source and share with my students is of a high caliber and fitting with my overall message of self-actualizing through the martial journey.
So it's comes back to that point about understanding your customer, understanding your students, and then being able to serve their needs with the knowledge and content they require through blogging, through videos, social media.
That's right.
Okay, interesting.
In order to help support my students' development, we, as part of the school, are also putting together online training materials as well, so that they will be able to learn and supplement their own training in their own space. So we are in the process of putting together some supplemental training videos that will be provided as part of that. So home study courses, effectively, we'll put together materials that people can stream DVDs from learnings that have been put together by people, other instructors within my circle that can help provide these teachings as well, so that the students can continue their development in their own space and try things and exercises and drills in their own time and space with their own family and friends when they're outside of class, to continue their evolution and their progress in their own development. So that's something that's quite key. One of the other aspects of this is we're also putting together something called Martial WOD, mm-hmm. right? Or a Martial Workout of the Day. And the idea of that is to, a lot of my students come up to say, Sifu, what can I do in my own time and space in order to continue my martial arts development? How can I be a better martial artist? Give me some homework. And quite often I do this. I say, all right, I want you to go away and do this. I want you to go away and work on this. I want you to go and do this, that, and the other. And I've been getting this constantly, and I've been teaching for almost 10 years now. And so I decided that I was going to put together a regular martial workout of the day. So students can go away and do a workout in their own time and space every single day to continue their development. Something that's carefully thought out, planned, and progressive through the syllabus that we're working with. So they'll have workouts that they can do. And if they want more information in terms of the actual mechanics behind some of the certain techniques and so on, there's a membership site that will go with that as well. So they'll be able to tap into some of the more detailed teachings behind that. And that will be something that the students can then join up to for a peppercorn fee, go in and get access to all these teachings if they can't make class, for instance. So there's always value add. How can I continue to support and educate and inspire their journey?
Right. So it looks like all the activities that you do are working in synchronicity with each other, right? Because one of the things you said at the beginning was about building that trust. That's with right. your students. But doing all of this stuff is then social proof and trust in itself.
That's right.
Which then inspires more confidence and more legitness, if that's
yeah.
the word,
yeah.
you know, to yeah. what you're all about.
Yeah. Okay. I'm into making up words, so let's go with that.
Awesome.
Every single word is man-made. Yeah. So, you know, we're creators here.
That's right.
We like creating things, innovators.
That's right. Okay, cool. So, like, just going back to like your students while mm-hmm. in class and things like that, what kind of things do your students look for in martial arts?
Well, each student has a different need, or it was presented as a different want. And if I was to categorize them into two separate buckets, one would be physical cultivation. This is cultivating the body
yeah.
for combat, prepared to go into battle. Okay, this is cultivating your body to a stage of elite fitness. And then you've got the other side of the being, which is mental cultivation. This is mm-hmm. cultivating your mind. And I get students that come in and are looking for confidence, self-belief. They're looking for to change their being, okay? And ultimately, martial arts is these two parts are considered, what I consider as two separate sides of a coin. But when you put them together, they're part of an indivisible whole. You can't have one without the other. And that ultimately is what Kung Fu is. Mm-hmm. So when people coming in to learn martial arts, what I tell them is that martial art is not just combat, or is not just philosophy, but it's both. And there's time and space when you need to flit in and out of one or the other, or you can be balanced between the two. So as part of that, one thing that I do as well is, in class, we tend to cover, say, 80% the physical cultivation aspect, because that's what most students want. But then there's the other aspect, Okay. Now, people do get a sense of assurity and confidence when they know that they are lethal, then they generally don't use that. But that sense of knowing gives them a sense of belief and confidence anyway, through motion. But then you've got the other side, where you can actually reprogram and upgrade your software up here, the mental cultivation aspect. And that comes through learning the philosophies and being able to see how to apply them into your life. Mm-hmm. And as part of that, one of the biggest things that I've been working on is the martial mind power aspect, or the martial mind power program. Mm-hmm. And that's been the founding principles for the Master Your Life program, which is the 9-belt self-mastery black belt program that I've put together. And the idea is you got the physical and mental cultivation together to create kung fu, which is excellence or expertise in your life through prolonged hard work. And the philosophical elements would be one of the courses, which is relevant to this interview, is called Honestly Express Yourself. Mm-hmm. And the idea is to be able to express yourself with honesty and integrity, be able to say something, even when you disagree with somebody, with a level of congruency and ecology with the other person, so that you can get your point across without the fear of offending, without the fear of not being able to say what you mean and what you intend. So getting the true intention behind your communication and the message across without the fear of holding back, creating misunderstanding, or even selling out to your own soul by convoluting your message or subduing your message at all. And that, I think, is the true art of honestly expressing yourself. And rapport is essentially that, is communicating what is it that you truly mean, what is it your true intention, how is it that I truly mean to help and enrich other people in their journey, and them giving me the honor and the privilege to carry them through that process and being their pointer to the truth, not a giver of the truth, but a pointer to their truth, for that short space of time that they're with me. Right. And that is a true privilege. So coming back to that question, you've got students that want the physical aspect. Mm. They want to go in, come in and hit stuff. And you've got people that are coming in and want to strengthen their mind. Mm. But ultimately, they're getting both.
Right. Okay? So when you said students want to hit stuff or they want to learn, things, would you then say that martial arts itself, in a kind of combat situation element, is a form of rapport or breaking rapport?
Martial arts in a combat, in a fight?
Yeah.
Martial arts is a dance, okay? Mm. So when you're dancing, and you're dancing with, let's just say there's two people involved, when you're dancing, there's rapport. So when somebody attacks, you've got a choice. You can evade, you can be defensive, you can counterattack, so you can respond, or you can intercept. But that's your choice on how you want to dance. It's like you're tangoing, or you're doing a cha-cha-cha, right? When you're moving in response to a person, then you're mirroring that person. And mirroring is one of the concepts of building rapport. So we've got rapport. So we've mirrored to some part, but if I sit here like this, I'm mirroring.
Yep.
We both feel comfortable, but I know that I can sit anywhere I like because we're already friends and we have that rapport.
Yeah.
But if it was somebody new, the idea would be to then build that rapport. In a fight, you're building a rapport to understand how that person moves. Mm. When you understand how that person moves, you understand their footwork, you understand their timing, you understand their rhythm. And when you understand rhythm, then you can break the rhythm. When you break the rhythm, that's when you get an advantage. That's when you get ahead of the fight and what's called stay ahead. And that's when you start orchestrating that dance.
Right.
And so understanding rapport from a communication standpoint, from general life, like we're having an interview right now, is one thing. But taking rapport into a fight is exactly the same.
Mm.
Right. But you're using your physiology. But you can use tonality, you can use ki, you can use the screams of war, mm-hmm. in order to communicate, in order to instill distrust or fear or whatever it might be, because the rapport is subliminal in terms of through movement, through mirroring, matching and crossovers, for example. But with with that, you're trying to get it to a point where you build rapport, then you can break it in a physical manner.
Yeah. So rapport could be used for good and bad in a way, right?
Rapport has to be earned. It can be in a combative way. The rapport is there when you're moving around with a person, you're dancing around with a person, but then you're looking at the point where you can break rapport in order to attack that person or intercept or incapacitate that person, right? That's a finite window, okay? But that happens when you're moving around with a person, you understand your fighting measure, you understand the footwork, you understand the timing and the rhythm, and then you break that. But to get that, you understand what their natural state of movement is, what their natural state of rapport is. Yeah. And when you build that, you can break it. So yes, it can be used in a negative way from a combative standpoint. In a everyday standpoint, where you're building rapport with somebody, rapport takes time and effort to build. But the moment it's broken, trust is broken. When trust is broken, it's very difficult to get it back. So the idea really is, when you're honestly expressing yourself, you must do it with an ecology. That means there's a win-win, so that you and the other person has a win-win situation. So that when you're communicating, you're not offending, but that person's getting something of value out of it, as will I. So there's a fair exchange. It doesn't have to be something that we're trading, but it's just a fair exchange in our messages. Could be even something at a basic level, something intangible.
So it's that common message is coming across about that trust, about the integrity, about making sure what you're putting out there is honest, right?
It's absolutely
to the core, because
absolutely,
like you said, if that trust is broken, the rapport is gone. And that's then right. If there's no rapport, then there's nothing, really.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And you know, that the message that you're putting out there has to be, you have to have integrity and sincerity about it. And it has to come from a real deep place. For me, martial arts is a journey of enriching others so that they can self-actualize, but not giving them that process, but being a pointer to their own truth and helping them travel their own journey in their own time and space without pressure. In order to do that as well, you have to be as well as preaching, you have to be a practitioner yourself. So I work on myself a lot, both physically and mentally, to ensure that physically I'm ahead of everybody and I can go out there and express myself physically in combat, in fitness. So I always push myself as much as I can, right? So there's nothing that I can't do, you know, that I teach out there. And, you know, along Bruce's lines, you know, one-hand press-ups, for example, you know, I cultivated that so then I could teach it to others. If I can't do it, I can't lead by example. So there was one session, many sessions, but one particular session I remember where I taught the class how to do a one-hand press-up. And half of the class got it. The other half had to scale it down because they didn't have the strength. So they had to cultivate from a more simpler, basic level. But the idea was, it gave them a goal, something that I inspired them towards. So you have to practice what you preach. And that is the true expression, that your message is sincere because you're also following your own teachings.
Yeah, no, definitely. Thanks for sharing that, Lex, because there's loads of gems in there. Because there's so often when people are just doing stuff for the sake of doing it, they've got no integrity behind them, they've got nothing, but they manage to do things to build that trust, but then sooner or later it's going to break.
Yeah.
Right? So there's no point in the long run to do that. But if you're actually practicing it yourself, doing it, again, it brings more trust into the situation as well, because people relate to it, they see it, and then trust leads to more rapport, I suppose.
That's right, absolutely. Right?
That's been brilliant, Alex. Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
I hope you guys got a lot of insights from that. And, you know, keep checking back in. We'll have some more interviews for you soon. So, any last words, Alex?
Visit martialmindpower.com for...
And JKD London.
And JKD London, if you'd like to learn Bruce Lee's Jeet Kune Do. Digital Rapport, watch out, watch his face.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Digital Rapport podcast. If you have any questions or would like to find out more about what I'm up to, then make your way over to www.digital-rapport.com and also check out www.authoritydojo.com, where you can find out how to turn your skills and knowledge into a profitable authority business online.